Welcome to New Generation Church with Pastor Eddie Merino.
This morning, church, if you'll open your Bible, the book of James in the New Testament, we want to welcome everyone this morning also. Amen. If it's your first time, thank you for being with us. We are here to serve you. James chapter 1. Hallelujah. Now I'm going to read verse 1, 2, 3, and 4. James chapter 1. An amen when you have it. And it reads, I'm reading from the New King James Version. James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. James chapter 1. Notice the Bible says, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. And this morning, that's what I want to share with you is the trial. The trial. Now, James, when you read the book of James, you're going to find out that James is very straightforward. He's straightforward. As one preacher said, or the epistle has been called, the epistle of in your face, because, I mean, he gets in your face, and he's going to tell you how it is. James, there's different James in the Bible. Several men with the name James mentioned in the New Testament. But many believe this is James the Just. He was the half-brother of Jesus Christ and the brother of Jude. Not Jude that hanged himself, or Judas. This is the brother of Jude. This is the James that the Bible talks about, that he's the one that led the church in Jerusalem. And I'm saying all of this because I'm getting somewhere with this. This is the James that the Bible, Paul spoke about in Corinthians, who received or saw the resurrection, the appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. And James was a man, many say that he was a man of prayer. He was a man who followed Jesus greatly, faithful to the Lord. I mean, we're talking about someone who followed him with great devotion, someone who loved Jesus. They say that he was such a man of prayer. Early history of the church says that his knees, of so much praying, that his knees had large and thick calluses, that they looked like the knees of a camel. That's how much this man prayed. But also James, as he was a man of prayer, history also says that he was martyred. That they pushed him from a high point of the temple, yet he didn't die of his fall, but the moment he landed on the ground, he was beaten to death as he prayed for his attackers. Now, this is powerful because at one time, these were men that had unbelief. But it wasn't until the Lord got a hold of them. Now, notice that he says, James, a bondservant, he's a servant of God. And to the 12 tribes, which is speaking of the Jews, he's writing to the Jews, which are scattered abroad, greetings. Now, look what James says. My brethren, he says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. And we're going to see right now, why is he saying that to count it all joy when you fall into various trials? It's not like if when you face a trial, you know, you're going to have joy about it. But it's what we do in the midst of the trial. And how many know that trials are inevitable? Amen? I mean, trials, it's something you can't stop. Trials are going to come your way. Especially when you decided to follow Jesus, there's going to be trials. And notice that he said, when. Notice, he says, when you fall into various trials. He didn't say if, not if. He didn't say if. No. It says when, like saying you will face trials. You are going to face a trial. Amen? So in other words, get equipped. Be prepared. Knowing that there is going to be trial. It's kind of like when Jesus said, he said, when you fast. He didn't say, you know, if you do. He says, no, like he's expecting. Amen. And he says, count it all joy. Why? Because it produces patience. I mean, think about it. If you're going to face a trial, might as well face it with joy. Face it with joy. And we're going to see that if we face trials with joy, you know what's going to happen? We're going to grow. We're going to mature. In other words, we're going to accept the plan and purpose of God in our lives. We're not rejecting it. We're not saying, you know what, I don't want this. No, it's like, hey, I'm already here. I'm going to go through it. I'm going to face them with joy. And we're going to see that right now. I know it doesn't make sense, but we're going to see right now what he's saying. But notice that he says, my brethren, so he's telling the family of Christ, count it all joy. Literally, when the Bible says count it all joy, what it's saying is this. It says, it means to add up numbers. Like, add it all up. It's like when you're facing something, you're adding, it's like you already know, like, okay, I'm in this trial that I'm facing. And he's saying, add it all up. And how many know that God is faithful? He's going to walk you through it all the way. Amen. We're going to overcome. We're going to overcome with joy. It's like, you know what? I'm already here. You know, I'm moving forward. So he says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Amen? So you have to hear me, church, just very, because we're going to see right now, Paul did the same thing. He counted it. It's like they're going to come. Let me learn from it. The worst thing you could do is to run from it. The best thing you could do is to face it, but with joy. Because at the end of the day, church, God is faithful. You already know that. God is faithful. And God will always back up his word. He's never going to let you down. He's never going to let me down. Matter of fact, Paul, in the book of Philippians, he says this, chapter 3, verse 7 and 8, he says this, but what things were gained to me? Look what he says. These I have counted, there's that word, counted loss. It's like saying, you know what, everything that I gained that was gained to me, I counted, I added all up, it's a loss for Christ. But he says, yet indeed, I also count, look, there's that word again, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count him as rubbish that I may gain Christ. So Paul was willing and he accepted that now in Christ, everything else, he saw it as a loss. But now in Christ, there is gain. Amen. See, you have to, church, you have to decide. You have to decide, kind of like what James is saying, count it all joy. You have to decide that, you know what, I'm going through all this. You know, I'm just going to add it all up. I'm going to count it all joy. I'm going to do it God's way. And that's the only way I'm going to grow. I'm going to mature. I'm going to be a stronger Christian. Because I don't know, church, I believe that you want to be a stronger Christian. You want to grow stronger. Amen. We want to, as we walk with the Lord, we want to be in the will of God. Not my will, not what I want, not what I think, but what God wants to do in my life. So he says, when you fall into various trials. Let me say this, church. Maybe right now you are facing a trial. Or maybe you're not. Maybe you're going through one. Or maybe you're coming out of one. But one thing I know, kind of like the psalmist in Psalms 23 when he says, when you go through the valley. Did you notice it? It says, when you go through the valley. We're going through. We're passing through. We're not going to stay there. And many times in life, church, we think that, you know, anybody, any trial that you're facing, we think, you know, when it's never going to finish. When is it going to be over? But guess what? Biblically, is we're going through. Amen? We're going through. And I'd rather go through it, but with God on my side. I don't want to do it on my own. If I do it on my own, I don't have no aid. I don't have no help. But if God is with me, I know that I'm going to get all the help that I need. When I need it, at the time I need it. And one thing we know is that God is faithful. He always comes through. Amen? Because God has everything that we need. So he says, when you fall into various trials. That word various, it means many colors. So in life, there's going to be different trials in your life. Hear me, church. You're going to face different trials in your walk with the Lord in this life. There's going to be various trials. David, at one time, he said these words in Psalms 116, verse 3. He says, The pains, notice what he says, the pains of death surrounded me. In other words, David, he felt the pain of death surrounding him. Have you ever felt that way where you just feel you're surrounded, like, I mean, from all kinds of stuff? You know, and that's the way David, he felt. And he says, and the pains of Sheol, he says, laid hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow. See, there's going to be times, church, where that's, you know, you're going to feel like, man, this is all I is. Trouble and sorrow. Various trials. But James says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Now the question is, what is a trial or trials? Trials, this is what it means, some of the meanings. Number one, it's affliction. You're going to face affliction. Number two, persecution. Or any trial of any kind. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials, afflictions. Why? In verse 3, he says, knowing that the testing, knowing, you got to know, church, you have to know that the testing of your faith produces patience. In verse 3, when it says, knowing that the word testing, the original word means this. It means that it was used of testing metals. You know, in Bible times, when they would test metals, there's only one reason why they tested metals. They wanted to find out if they were for real. Oh, you didn't get it. See, when you're tested, it's for one reason. Are you for real? Are you a follower of Jesus? Followers of Jesus produce fruit. They grow. They mature. Amen? So you're going to get tested. But the real meaning is, the reason they would test metals was for this reason. Genuineness. Are you genuine? Are you for real? Come on, church. Are you real? Amen? Because in a test, the real you is going to come out. That's why he says, count it all joy. Because if you don't decide, if you're not intentional, like, hey, I'm going through this trial, you know what? I'm going to face it with joy. Because if not, you're going to grumble. You're going to complain. You're going to blame. And guess what? The more you do that, you will never grow mature in the Lord. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 7 says this, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious, look what he says, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire. You're going to be tested in the fire, church. Remember Daniel? Daniel was what? He was in the furnace of what? Fire. He didn't get burned. He trusted God. He was loyal to God. Daniel kept his integrity. In the furnace of fire. He didn't say, you know what? It's getting tough here. It's getting hot. It's getting hard. You know what? I give up. I'm not going to worship the true living God. I'm going to worship who you want me to worship. He didn't do that. He stood his ground. See, church, God wants you to, for you to stay strong. Trust God. When the fire gets hot. Come on, when the fire gets hot, that's where you got to be strong. You got to be strong. Don't compromise. Many people compromise. When everything is, it's okay. You know, okay, there's victory. There's amen, Jesus, hallelujah, praise God. But when it gets hot. Daniel stood his ground. And what happened? God honored him. God honored him. And what happened? God took him to another level. Daniel was just being faithful. Daniel was just growing. Daniel was just getting promoted. See, everybody wants the promotion. Everybody wants the promotion. Amen? Everybody wants promotion. But can you stand the trial? Can you face the trial? Did you know? Hear me. Because sometimes we think, you know, why am I going through this? Why this trial? But did you know that God, hear me. God will always test his children. Satan tempts. Satan tempts. He's the tempter. Remember when he tempted who? Jesus. Where? In the desert. 40 days of fasting. How did he tempt them? With food. The devil might have thought, you know what? I'm going to get him right now. He hasn't ate. He hasn't grubbed. He's empty. I'm going to tempt him. And he tells him, if you're the man, let's see, convert these rocks unto bread. See, but Jesus didn't give in. He told them, it is written, man shall not live of bread alone, but of every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Matthew 4:4. So God will always test his children. But for one reason, you know why we get tested by God? Because he wants to strengthen you. It's never, listen, church, listen. When God tests you, it's not for destruction. It's for strengthening. He wants to make you and me stronger. Not to destroy you, not for destruction, not to finish with you. It's just to strengthen you so that you can be stronger. I mean, it's like when you get tested and you get stronger, you overcome, you count it all joy. Guess what? Next time another test comes, guess what? You're going to pass it with flying colors. It's only a test. So when the Bible says, knowing, verse 3, that the testing of your faith produces patience. This word faith, it's the word pistis, it's talking about trust. When you trust God, you believe God, you have faith in God. That's what that word is talking about right here. Is that you trust God. How many trust God? You know that when you're facing a trial, that's the time. It is the time to trust God, church. It's the time to put your faith in God. That's the moment when you believe God. You have faith in God. You trust God. Trust God. You know, in Proverbs, there's a scripture, Proverbs 35 says, trust the Lord. Trust in the Lord. What does he say? With all your heart. Whenever you're facing a trial, you got to trust the Lord with all your heart. It's game time. Right now, I'm going to trust God. I'm just going to trust him. But then he also says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And then he says, right there in Proverbs 3:5, and lean not on your own understanding. See, too many lean too much in their own understanding, in their own strength. No. Trust the Lord. Lean. Too many lean on their own understanding. But see, there's times, church, there's times where only we can do the natural, but God always does the supernatural. Amen? There's a point where you're going to find out. You know what? Man, I already did everything I know, but that's where God has to come in. Too many leaning in your understanding. When God, see, there's times where God wants, he wants to get the glory, all the honor. Think about it. You think God doesn't know you? He might be thinking, you know what? If I let him, he's always going to want to get the glory. He's going to think that he's wise, that he's smart, that it's his brains. But there's times, church, where God says, you know what? You can't do this. Get out of the way. Only I can do it. I'm your savior. I'm wiser. I'm more intelligent. I'm smarter than you. So get out of here. Let me do it. I want you to trust me. Come on, church. But see, I get it. Sometimes we like that feeling. Oh, I did it. You know, and I'm going to do it again. Yeah, because it's a good feeling. But at the end of the day, there's times, church, where God wants to do it all for you. Because he wants to strengthen you. He wants you to grow. And see, church, the more God blesses you, the more God does for you, he wants you to trust him. The more God is doing in you, the more God is moving in you, the more God is doing great things in your life, your family, your workplace, the finance, everything is good. That's not the time to say, you know what, I don't need God no more. No, that's when you need God even more. And seek his counsel, his wisdom. Hallelujah. And he says, verse 3, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. What is the word patience? The word patience is never talking about, hear me, and I'm going to give you an example now. It's never talking about passive waiting. So it's like you're facing a trial and you're just being passive, you're just waiting. Oh, you know, I'm just going to wait here. I'm just going to chill right here. He's not talking about that. He's not talking about passive waiting. He's talking about being, it's about enduring. Active endurance. It means that you're moving forward. No matter what comes your way, whatever you're facing, we're moving forward. We're being active about it. We are trusting God. God, kind of like when Moses was leading the Israelites and the Egyptians were behind him, the chariots. Moses, at one time, kind of like wanted to pause, stop, but he kept moving forward. God told him, hey, don't look back, keep moving forward. And what happened when he got to the Red Sea? God did not depart the Red Sea right away. No. The Red Sea was a Red Sea. It wasn't until they got to that point that God opened up the Red Sea and they walked through it. Are you understanding me, church? When we're walking, God will always, he will always open up the Red Sea at the right time. Moving forward. But imagine if Moses would have said, he's the leader, and he would have said, you know what? We're just going to stand here. They're behind us, but we're just going to stand here, and we're just going to be hoping and, you know, see if something happens. He didn't do that. They were marching forward. They kept moving. Are you getting to church this morning? You got to be moving. You got to be active. Forward, never behind, forward. You know, it's kind of like in the physical way. If you never move, you're just going to be there, man. But if you're active, there's going to be some movement. Guess what? You're going to be healthier. Don't they say, hey, walk 8,000, 7,000 steps a day because it's going to help you, it's your health. Well, and it's the same thing, church. Spiritually, if you keep marching, moving forward, trusting the Lord with all your heart, not leaning on your own understanding, guess what? You're going to be a healthy believer in Jesus Christ. See, we're not going to be healthy. If we're not healthy, we're not going to be mature. We're not growing. Why? Because there's no movement. We're just right there being passive. It's kind of like when you go to the dealership. You go get an oil change. What do they tell you? Okay, sir, have a seat right there at the place. You can, there's donuts and waiting area. There's donuts and coffee. Just sit there. But in reality, hear me, church. Your walk with God, trusting God, get this, it's a marathon. It's a marathon. This is not a sprint. Marathon. We're going for the long haul. Amen? This is not a sprint. This is a marathon. We're marching forward, and we're not going to stop even till the day that the Lord comes back and the church is caught up or we're raptured, amen, or if it's your time, but we're not going to give up. We're moving forward, amen, we're moving forward. We're going to finish all the way. I said we're going to finish all the way, church. And in the meantime, we're getting stronger. We're getting wiser. Amen. We are growing. I mean, you can see the fruit. I mean, you can see the evidence. You can see that something is happening in your life. You can see that you are producing. And only because we trusting God, we are trusting God. That's what the Bible says. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. You're producing. Church, we are producing. Amen. We are being active. We are enduring. And that word actually, it means this. When the Bible says your faith produces patience, the whole meaning of the word means this. It's to remain under. But what does it mean to remain under? Someone wrote, it has the picture of someone under a heavy load. And it says, it has the picture of someone under a heavy load and choosing, you choose to stay there instead of trying to escape. See, that's what the word means, patience. Two words, under and to abide, to stay there, remain there under a heavy load. I'm sure you've been there. Maybe you're facing one right now. Maybe there's a heavy load on you right now. You're facing a trial. There's a heavy load on your life. But guess what? In the meantime, choose to stay there. And with joy. Hear me. You choose to stay there instead of what? Trying to escape. See, many don't want to stay in El Centro, the valley. They want to escape to Mex. Stay. Stay. God's doing something in you. God is doing something in you. God is doing something in us. Did you know that trials don't produce faith? But it's when the trials are received with faith, it produces patience. Because this is what happens for the majority of the time. When someone faces a trial, many people receive them this way. They don't accept it or receive it with joy. They receive it this way, with unbelief. You don't believe. That's why he says faith. See, at the moment of the trial, you don't believe. There's unbelief. You're thinking like, well, I don't. It's like saying, I don't think God can handle this. Are you serious? That's why you're here this morning. Because you have seen his faithfulness. If it wasn't for God, we wouldn't be here this morning. How many times has God come through? Amen. And yes, there's nothing wrong if you, at the moment you might think, you know what, I wonder if God can fix this one. God fixes everything. You just got to have faith in him. Trust in him. Don't say, I'm just going to leave the faith. You know, because sometimes people, you'd be surprised. People leave the faith because they say, oh, God let me down. God never lets you down. We let God down. We choose to walk away. Or, you know, people use it just, here he goes, with all due respect, as an excuse. But I know it's a fact, it's guaranteed, that if you stay there, there's patience in you, you're moving forward, you're trusting God with all your heart, sooner or later, God fixes it. But what happened is that when it gets getting hotter, more pressure, people walk away. Give God an opportunity to show you his glory, his power. Sometimes we don't give God the opportunity to move. It's kind of like prayer. Sometimes, you know, we move too fast. It's like, no, you know, I want this car, I want this house. You want this? Give God the opportunity to move. But then what happens? We do it on our own understanding. And then things didn't go the way we wanted them. Hallelujah. Am I preaching to the choir or what? So, I mean, faith produces patience. Don't receive none of that, church. I already said unbelief or even grumbling. Don't complain. Or with bitterness or discouragement. No. That's the time. It is the time right there that you got to trust God. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. That's why James, he's exhorting and he's telling. The first thing he tells them, hey, he says, count it all joy. Let me tell you this, church. Next time, if you're facing a trial right now, decide right now, right now. Be intentional about it and say, you know what? I'm going to face this. I'm going to count it with all joy. And watch what God's going to do. But if you're grumbling, there's unbelief. You're mad. You're upset. You're bitter. Guess what? You're not going to grow. You're not going to grow. But if you say, you know what? I count it all joy. I'm just going to trust the Lord. And let me tell you something, church. God always knows what's best for you. Did you hear me? God always knows what's best for you. And God, one thing I know of God is that God will always protect you from harm. He will protect you if you trust him. He will protect you. Why? Because we are his children. He died for you. He paid a heavy price for you. He loves you and he wants the best for you. And why? Verse 4, but let patience have its perfect work that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. That word perfect, that's what it means. It means this. It means for you to be fully equipped. God wants you to be fully equipped. When he talks about right here in verse 4, but let patience have its perfect work. He wants you to be fully equipped. It means the word ripe. It means to be mature. God wants you for you to be fully equipped, mature. That's all he wants in you, church. Imagine if we never grow. Any little trial, any little thing is going to knock you down. We're never going to grow because any little thing moves you. And I get it. Sometimes, you know, maybe we grew up having everything our way. In God's kingdom, all that changes. It's not about my way. No, it's always about God's way, if you trust in him. I mean, if you want to go that route where, no, I want things my way, do things outside of God. Because you're always going to crash with God. God always wants the best for you. I mean, the Bible says, hey, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Remember, even Jesus, he already knew he was going to the cross, Calvary, he was going to die. But even when he prayed, I mean, Jesus, knowing that he was fully man and fully God, when he prayed, his prayer was so intense that his sweat were like drops of blood. But what did he say? Lord, basically said it this way, is there another way? But then he says, but it not my will, not what I want, but what you want. And God wanted him to go that route, that way. But what did he do? He trusted God. Was it painful? Of course it was painful. On his way to the cross, I mean, he was beaten, he was spit at, they mocked him. They did all kinds of stuff to him. But the Bible says that he was faithful to the end. And he paid the price. He paid the penalty for you and for me. That's the reason why we're here today. That's the reason why we have forgiveness of our sins. That's the reason why we have eternal life. That's why, you know, we're blessed. That's why, I mean, we know that if we die today, we go with the Lord. We have eternity forever and ever. That's why this morning we're blessed. We're victorious. We're rejoicing. Why? Now we're enjoying the fruit. And let me say this, church. It's the same thing with us. See, many times I always tell people it's not so much of, yes, it's important about us, our walk with God. But now we have children. We have kids. And if we're not trusting God in everything, or walk with him, guess what? That's what our kids are seeing in us. I'm sure you want your kids to say, you know what? My dad, my mom, you know, I see how they praise God, they pray, they trust the Lord. I've seen how the things they face, they've overcome. It's been hard, it hasn't been easy, and they're still here, they're still standing. I'm finished, I'm about to finish. The Bible says of Noah, Genesis 6:9, Noah was a just man, perfect. There's that word perfect. He was mature in his generations. And then it says, Noah, here it is. It says this, Noah walked with God. He walked with God, church. I don't know about you, church. Don't walk alone. Let me give you some advice this morning. Don't walk alone. Walk with God. Don't walk alone. Walk with God. Walk with God. And it says, but let patience have its perfect worth, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Wow. That you may be perfect, mature, and complete. Complete means, Paul talks about spirit, soul, and body. You're complete. In other words, I'm going to put it real simple, in every area of your life, your spiritual life, your physical life, every area of your life, you're complete. You're not lacking anything. You don't lack anything. I mean, think about it. If you get to that point where you don't lack anything, all because you trust God, you walk with God, you don't lack anything. Life is good. That you know that you can live a good life, church, here on earth? That you know that? You can live a good, blessed life. Amen? You could live a good, blessed life, a joyful life here on earth. Who said that you could not? But God just wants you to trust him. Have faith in him. Amen? And do it God's way. Don't do it your way. And watch what God's going to do, or he's already doing in your life. Please stand, church. Amen, this morning. The Hebrews writer, he said this, though he was a son, he's talking about Jesus, though he was a son, yet he learned, look what he says, yet he learned, talking about Jesus. I mean, if Jesus had to learn that, we have to learn it. He says, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things, here he goes, which he suffered. And having been perfected, mature, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. See, maturity is always who we are, church. It's not what we know. It's who we are. It's who we are in the Lord. It's who we are, not what we know. Because we could know a lot of things, church. But God wants us to be doers. What good is it to know a lot, but we don't do it? Maturity. Trusting God. Being faithful to him. In the mighty name of Jesus.
Thank you for joining us for today's message at New Generation Church. For more information, visit us at ecngchurch.com.